The content in this episode is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Please consult your physician to see what works best for you.
With more than 40 million copies sold, the original classic edition of Jesus Calling is your daily guide to living a more peaceful life. Its price and size also make it the perfect gift for anyone who needs some encouragement. Find Jesus Calling wherever you buy books.
I just would encourage people, when you're going through a hard time in life, maybe you're battling a health condition. It could be cancer, could be hypothyroidism, could be anything. But press into God. God is more powerful than all of those things. And you just need to spend time believing and knowing God has what's best for you.
Welcome to the Jesus Calling Podcast. During times of pain, loss, and grief, faith and a close relationship with God can serve as a profound source of comfort, strength, and hope. Prayer, meditation, and the study of Scripture can be vital practices in nurturing our spiritual resilience, offering a refuge and a sense of peace. In these ways, our faith acts not only as a beacon of light amidst the shadows, but also as a foundation upon which we can rebuild and heal. Dr. Josh Axe, a functional medicine doctor, shares his personal health experiences that have shaped his approach to health and wellness. He recounts his mother's battle with cancer and her successful remission through natural approaches. When Josh had a back injury that turned into a serious infection, his connection to God provided faith and hope that he would make a full recovery. J.S. Park, a hospital chaplain, discusses the importance of being present for people in their most difficult moments and the profound impact of grief support and crisis assistance. J.S. also opens up about his struggle with faith and finding comfort in difficult times. Let's begin with Dr. Josh Axe.
I'm Dr. Josh Axe. I'm a doctor of functional medicine. I'm the founder of DrAxe.com, the co-founder of Ancient Nutrition and Leaders.com, and have a real passion for helping people use food as medicine, mindset medicine, and just grow in body, mind, and spirit. I grew up in a family of faith. Faith was always a really central part of who I was because of my parents. And one of the things that I think really defines a big part of why I became a doctor and why I have just a real passion for helping people heal is because a crisis in my family when I was younger, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer at 41 years old. And we went through all the conventional medical treatments. My mom went and had a mastectomy. She went through rounds and rounds and rounds of chemotherapy. And I still have memories of her losing her hair and just getting so sick. And there are really two things I thought at that time. I thought, I want to help people like my mom one day. And then another thing was, there has to be a more natural way to help somebody get healthy. That inspired me to do everything from start an online website that writes articles to a supplement company to a podcast and YouTube show and more. One of the things I know that God always does is he can turn pain into purpose. And so that's been a big story of my family, is experiencing pain in different ways, but then using that to benefit and love others. With natural medicine, when I first started my career, a lot more people questioned it. More and more people are realizing that food is medicine, that mindset is medicine, that lifestyle is medicine, and more people are investing in these natural approaches. Right when I was about to graduate and open up my functional medicine clinic here in Nashville, Tennessee, I got a call from my mom. And she was in tears on the phone, and she says, "Josh, I've got bad news. I've just been diagnosed with cancer again. What do I do?" And I said, "Mom, what do you want to do? Do you want to do the conventional approach? Do you want to do more natural?" She said, "I'm feeling led to do the natural approach." And so we started doing a lot of vegetables, lots of berries. We did supplements like reishi mushroom and turmeric and did wild caught salmon and some bone broth. So she ate a really, really healthy, nutrient dense diet. She also started practicing prayer. She started going to conferences and being prayed for. My mom also realized that she had a lot of emotions that she'd not dealt with. She had a lot of fear in her life, a lot of worry, and she hadn't really cast those on God. And so she started spending more time in prayer and praise and gratitude. And we followed this protocol for 4 months. We went back 4 months later to her oncologist. They redid a CT scan, and we got a call from them. And the first thing they asked us was, "What have you been doing?" And my mom shared with them. And then their exact words were, "This is highly unusual. We don't typically see this. The scan has showed that your tumors have shrunk by more than 50%. And we're astounded, but keep doing what you're doing. We need to see you again in 9 months." And she went back 9 months later in complete remission. And today my mom is in her mid-70s and she's in the best shape of her life. I think there's a lot of people that have beliefs that are limiting them. And I've found that sometimes if people just break through one limiting belief, it can radically change their life. For me, just a couple years ago, I went through the hardest time of my entire life by far. I had a back injury from lifting weights. Well, I went in for treatment, got quite a bit better. 3 months later, I woke up and I couldn't walk. The pain was so severe in my spine, I could hardly move. We had to call an ambulance, met with an infectious disease specialist, and he sat down with me and he said, best case scenario, you're gonna have pain the rest of your life and you are gonna be the first person to know when bad weather comes through. Worst case scenario, you're gonna be permanently disabled and have trouble walking. And you know, for the first time in my life, there were emotions I experienced I'd never experienced before. I'd never truly felt despair or hopelessness, and I actually felt those for the next 24 hours. And then finally I went and I said, God, I feel like there's a mountain in front of me and I don't know what to do. And I just felt the peace of God come over me. And I literally felt like God said, like this still small voice, just walk with me and I'll get you through this. And I realized too that this mindset I had, because it's so easy to start going on social media or Google and start searching spinal infection outcomes. And so I went and I started going through and getting treatment. I got on IV antibiotics for 4 weeks, got in something called a hyperbaric chamber for 2 hours a day. I pretty much ate meat and vegetables, took a lot of good supplements, but I didn't walk for almost a whole year. And then I was on a walker for 2 months. But I really believed and prayed to God. I said, God, would you help me not only get my health back, but get me better than I was before? And I can say now, it's a year later, I'm back lifting weights, I'm throwing my daughter in the pool in the air, and I feel great. So if we're having right and positive thinking, it's a major, major contributor to us healing and achieving our optimal level of health. I think there's some really basic things that people can do to get healthy. And I think oftentimes people try and do everything or they work up in their head, well, to see results, I'm gonna have to work out for an hour a day and completely change every last thing. And I just don't have the time or money for it. The reality is if people just make small changes, they can radically change their life. Here's an example. You don't have to exercise an hour a day. What if you just went for a walk for 20 minutes a day, which is about 1 mile? The studies show actually that walking is the number one exercise for longevity. Another example is, well, what if you don't change your whole diet? What if you just changed breakfast? That's changing 1/3 of your entire diet. Try a superfood smoothie. And it's very simple, 3 ingredients. 1 cup of berries, like blueberries, a scoop or two of a collagen protein or a bone broth protein, and then add a little water or coconut or almond milk. If you just started doing that for breakfast, that's an incredible change. And then when I'm done with that walk, I come inside, I'll make myself that smoothie, typically sit down, and then I'll read my Bible. And then after that, I'll spend some time in just prayer and meditation, just talking to God, listening to God, and thinking about what I read and maybe what I feel like that still small voice shared with me, what I need to apply to that day. I mean, it sets up my entire day for success. Every morning, I do a spiritual triathlon. And so I wake up in the morning and I go for a walk and I say everything I'm grateful for. And I just praise God. Jesus listens, October 31st. Eternal God, in your presence there is fullness of joy, perfect peace, and unfailing love. I delight in walking with you along the path of life, enjoying your company each step of the way. Because you are continually by my side, the joy of your presence is always available to me. You have promised to keep me in perfect peace as I fix my thoughts on you. Please help me stay in communication with you through my spoken words, thoughts, and songs. When I spend ample time absorbing your word, letting it soak into my mind, it changes the way I think and live. As I ponder who you really are, your light shines warmly into my heart and blesses me with peace. Lord, I want to flourish in your presence, like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. As the sunlight of your presence shines upon me, it nourishes me so I can produce fruit in your kingdom. And the more I trust in your unfailing love, the more I realize how utterly secure I am in you. In your bright, loving name, Jesus. Amen.
To learn more about Dr. Josh Axe, check out his latest book, Think This, Not That, wherever you buy books. Stay tuned to J.S. Park's story after a brief message.
During times of transition and unknown next steps, it's more important than ever to cling to the promises of God and to tune your ear to what Jesus has to say. Jesus Calling for Graduates is an encouraging compilation of 150 devotions from Sarah Young's brand. Grads will find topics such as discerning God's will, self-worth, trust, support, and much more. Jesus Calling for Graduates is perfect for both high school and college graduates as they embark on the next chapter. Look for our special custom edition of Jesus Calling for Graduates, available exclusively at faithgateway.com.
Our next guest is hospital chaplain J.S. Park. Early on in life, June subscribed to an atheist mentality, but when he experienced true unconditional love at a small church, he acknowledged that this love could only come from God. In a desire to give back, he began helping people in their moments of greatest crisis and need by becoming a hospital chaplain, where he attends to every emergency with care, comfort, and a listening ear.
Online, I go by J.S. Park. My first name is June, and I am a hospital chaplain. I've been a chaplain now for almost 9 years, and I work at a level one trauma center. It's 1,000+ beds. I do grief support, crisis assistance, end of life care. I grew up an atheist, and I decided that I was an atheist early on because I found out that my parents did not plan on having me. And in my mind, at least in the worldview that I constructed, I thought that since they didn't plan on having me, I was a haphazard accident. And so I thought there's no purpose, there's no plan, there's no greater order, there's nothing divine about my existence. Around maybe beginning of college, I found this very small Korean-American church. And they asked me, can you play drums for our praise team? Because I happen to play drums. And I asked them, is it a problem that I'm an atheist? And they said, no. I started to play drums for them. And in fact, that pastor there and the people there, they were so supernaturally loving that at some point I began to extrapolate backwards and say, this love to me doesn't make sense. It's superhuman. And as I kind of worked my way backwards through it, I said, there's a reason for this. I want to know how they love so well. And so really, it wasn't an apologetic argument. It wasn't something persuasive. There wasn't one sentence that unlocked some knot in my brain that I suddenly started to believe. It was the love of this small little church that invited me, despite us believing different things, despite the life that I was living at that time, and just kept loving me. And that's how I came to understand God and God's love. I went to seminary and decided I wanted to be a pastor. But what I found is being in the pew is very much different than being in the pulpit. And I found it extremely difficult, awkward, and uncomfortable to be in the pulpit. It takes a very special kind of person to run a ministry, run a church. The fundraising part, the boardroom, the meetings, those kinds of things I wasn't good at. Even deciding the color of the carpet or the paint for the walls. Those were conversations that I didn't know how to have and love being with people. And what I noticed was when there was crisis, when there was somebody in the hospital, somebody went to jail, when there was someone really suffering, when I got the 3 a.m. call from a youth student or college student, I'm in trouble, that kind of call, something in my body activated and I was able to step up and step into that moment. And I thought, maybe this is where I'm supposed to be. Chaplains are essentially like they fit the intersection of mental health and faith, and they work as pastors outside of the church. I thought, maybe this is a great fit. And I got into this program, and then after that, a residency at a teaching hospital where I'm still working now. It's such a rare thing in life to be in a room where suddenly all the pieces, your experience, your pain, your story, your gifting, your calling, all of it somehow clicks into place. What a rare and beautiful thing that is. I attend every single trauma that comes into the hospital, which encompasses car accidents, gunshot wounds, stabbing, fire, fall, stroke. I'm often there and present on the very worst day of my patient's life. I'm there for support. I reach out to family. I try to connect patients with their families. And I'm often a presence at bedside for anything that the patient needs, whether they want to vent or they need someone there as a witness and a companion. And while there's a swirl of activity around them with people coming in and out asking questions, all of these things necessary on that medical level, chaplains fit the space between the sacred and the system, between the medicines and the machines. And so I do my best to be there for anything that my patient needs. The hardest visits are when we accompany physicians and nurses to break the news to family that their loved one did not make it. I will often ask the patient's family as they sit around the deathbed, what was your loved one like? What were they like in life? And very often, one by one, the patient's family will begin to share some specific story or experience or laugh that they had. And then the room becomes filled with tears, and these tears tell a story, but also sometimes smiling and laughter as they reminisce and as they remember how much this person meant to them. And that to me is a way to honor and lift up and process and remember their story. And it is what our grief needs for as long as we need. We have so many technical and functional tasks with advanced directives and assisting with end-of-life decision-making. But more than that, we sit with a patient who is, quote unquote, not themselves, maybe not at their best. They can be venting or even violent. They can be angry and outraged. And pain changes people. Pain can turn us into someone, perhaps, that we did not intend to be. I would say we're also kind of the first in line of sitting with a patient and connecting with them on a human level through the pain, in the pain. I alter details anytime I share about my patients, but there's one I've shared before where I was on the way to see another patient, and there was somebody in the hallway who was yelling and was obscene and violent and cursing. He wasn't my patient, but I happened to see him in the hallway, and he was just yelling at everybody passing by. And so I approached him, and I got a little close, and I asked him one question. I said, hey, what do you need right now? And in the middle of yelling, he kind of stopped and he realized I was pretty close to him and like trying to connect with him. And he was still sort of escalated, but he said, man, what I could really use right now is a hamburger. And I said, oh, a hamburger. So I asked him about that. And then he started sharing about how he went to the hospital thinking it'd be something short, but then it turned out to be longer, and he felt like he was in prison. And something about he had had this sort of experience before, he felt like he was locked up and on this tight schedule that he did not want. So as he talked, what I realized was he was angry. He was being violent. Those things are not okay, especially if they harm other people. But he was grieving, and he perhaps maybe didn't even know that he needed someone to hear him and to sit in his anger and just to listen to what he needed. So I went to ask the nurse, does he have any dietary restrictions? The nurse said, no. So I said, okay, he wants a hamburger. Is it okay if I get him one? So I went to get him a hamburger, and he was okay. It diffused and de-escalated the whole situation. It reminded me that underneath our anger or our hurt, there's loneliness. There is a need. There is something specific, and there's stories underneath stories. So can we pause to take a moment to sit with someone? I think if we paused and offered empathy and compassion, really listen, maybe ask that question, what do you need right now? We'd hear their story and be able to connect. I wish I was one of those people who could just turn it off when I walk out the door, but I do take it home with me because I'm connecting at that human level. I just wear my emotions on the outside, really. And I think in order to do this sort of role, not just being a provider, but like a whole person with our patients, it does require porous and open vulnerability. Like the thing that makes me a chaplain and makes me a human, I need to and want to keep that open in order to connect. What I try to remember and remind myself in these rooms is being present for that person doesn't fix them, can't fix their issue, can't cure, can't solve, can't resolve. But being a loving presence through grief makes the unbearable a little bit more bearable. And me as a chaplain being a presence there, they're seeing me in some ways as maybe a reflection of or extension of the divine, of God. And what I've tried to remember is that for me, my faith today is when I suffer, when I hurt, when I see suffering, what we need is loving presence through it. Not to fix, not to solve, not to answer the existential questions of why, which maybe we'll have an answer for one day. But what I found is that I don't want a faith that I need to hold up, but a faith that holds me. Not one where I feel like I need to prove that it's right, but instead rather one that is going to be able to wrap around my questions and continue to hold me. I believe in a Christ who holds us through all of it and who knows what it's like. You know, one of the common things that I hear about grief is that here's how to move on and move forward and let it go. Here's how to turn the page and find new things and become happy again. When we lose someone, it's devastating. A rift opens up and a person is gone or a dream is gone. We have a loss. And it's the void of the unreturn. We can't get back what is gone. And what we look at when we see through scripture, through culture of old, through ancient traditions, death engagement has always been a part of humanity until recently. And what I mean by death engagement is embracing grief and honoring our dead and living with the dead and carrying them in our hearts and in our everyday. And the thing is, in our bodies, grief doesn't just go just because we want it to or just because we say, I'm going to let go and move on. The story of that loss stays in our body. And it is hard to embrace it and to speak about it and to process it and to catalyze it in our bodies. But it's also much harder not to. How do I bring that to the surface and tell its story? We all grieve differently, just as we need differently. Some people may appreciate a casserole and may appreciate a check-in and may appreciate you just take them out spontaneously to bowling or to the movies. But some people may just need a phone call or a text message. Some people may just need a meme or send them a funny video. The person that you love, you know them. How do we attune ourselves to their needs? Look internally and say, I don't need a response from them. I don't need this to go well. I just want to be available and to offer them things. If they say no or if they reject me, that's okay. If I don't get it right this time, that's okay. I just want to, as best as I can, attune my satellite towards their needs and figure it out and not be offended if they reject me and not stumble too hard if I get it wrong this time, but just keep trying. For anyone who's listening right now and is experiencing a hard loss, I know there are no adequate words. I know that there's not enough to say to console and comfort, but I will just say, heart and spirit are with you, and I know how hard it is. And all your expressions, whether it's screaming or shouting, that's prayer and painful expression, or numbness or fatigue, or feels like you can't cry at all. I just validate all of that. I validate all of you. It's true that when we are grieving, when we experience loss, our faith gets shaken. We enter a crisis of what we understand, the meaning of the world. Things get completely thrown into disarray. But I think it's important that when we have the capacity and energy, if it's helpful, to reconnect with a point of reference or a baseline or some foothold or anchor to be able to reorient ourselves back to some comfort. Any devotional that helps you to do that, that helps you to connect in a way where you can suddenly reorient yourself and suddenly you know kind of which way is up and you're able to find true north, if that's helpful for you and will help bear you up in this crisis and in this hurt, I will always recommend it. Find the devotional or the writing or the one author or the one podcast or the one preacher that you really like. Then cling to that and stick to that and read that over and over and let it permeate through your body and give you the strength and hope that you need when you are ready. This is from Jesus Listens, January 28th. Compassionate Jesus, help me remember how safe and secure I am in you. I'm thankful that even in this world, I am never separated from you. For now, though, I must be content with seeing you through eyes of faith. I delight in your promise to walk with me till the end of time and onward into eternity. Though your continual presence is guaranteed, simply knowing this truth doesn't automatically change my emotions. When I forget to focus on you, I'm vulnerable to fear, anxiety, loneliness, and other unwanted feelings. Yet I found that awareness of your presence with me can dispel those painful feelings and replace them with your peace. Please train me in the discipline of walking attentively with you through each day. In your calming name, amen.
To learn more about J.S. Park, follow him on social media and be sure to check out his new book, As Long As You Need, at your favorite retailer. If you'd like to hear more stories about pursuing spiritual and physical wellness, check out our interview with Leslie Schilling. Next time on the Jesus Calling podcast, we'll hear from country singer-songwriter Stephanie Quayle, who shares how she survived a toxic relationship and how she ultimately found healing and forgiveness.
You only get forgiveness through faith. We've an unconditional loving God. And that's kind of a lot to take in because I think it's for our human brain, it's hard to fathom a love like that, right?
Thanks for listening to the Jesus Calling podcast. Every week we'll bring you stories from people who share their journeys of faith and how prayer and a relationship with God transformed their lives. Be sure to follow us on Apple Music, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave us a review so others can be inspired weekly by these stories of faith. Finally, you can find encouragement, resources, and more on the Jesus Calling website at jesuscalling.com.